We'll talk a little bit about the first pasuk in this week's parsha. The pasuk describes Chai Sarah's life, and there's several diukim in this pasuk that are not, the Torah is conveying it in a not typical fashion. Number one, the Torah says that Sarah lived 100 years, she lived 20 years, she lived 7 years, breaks up her life into many different pieces. Pashtus, you would say, it's coming to say that her life had different tkufas. You know, she had different tkufas in her life that were very different. That's normally why you break somebody's life up. You'd say, well, the first 20 years they were great, and then I had 20 years that were shvach, and then that would be a sensible reason to break somebody's life up. Kam Chazal, and Chazal say the reason why it breaks up the 20 and the 100 and the 7 is to tell us kulam shavim l'toiv. They were all equally good. Now, all equally good would make more sense to put them together. If it's kulam shavim l'toiv, when you break it up, it sounds more like the life was broken up, that it wasn't all the same. So the reason for saying it's kulam shavim l'toiv would be a reason to put it all together. Well, so we have a different pshat. So Chazal tell us another reason why maybe the Torah broke it up. But again, my difficulty is that if the Torah is trying to bring out that it was kulam shavim l'toiv, so it shouldn't break it up. But okay. Now we'll find another reason why maybe the Torah did break it up. Rashi says that she had different characteristics that she maintained throughout her life. She was a bas meyah, she was a bas meyah kibas chof kibazayin. So what is bas meyah? So Rashi says like this, she was a bas kuf, she was 100 years old, who had the milus of a bas chof lechet, ma bas chof lechoto, and it brings out that she had the beauty of a 7-year-old. Obviously, a 20-year-old L'chaira is more full of Averis than a 100-year-old. In Svarah. B'chlal, 20 years old is not a time when a person is without Chet. That's usually when a person is pretty loaded with Chet. So there are Mephoshim that explain that Misa B'dei Shemayim, you don't get until chof, right? But that's not a chet. That means Hashem doesn't punish somebody until they're 20. That doesn't mean you don't have averus. L'moshel, does a person bring a chatas if they're machal Shabbos before the age of 20? Of course they do. Of course they do. Because a person under 20 could be full of averus. There's no oinish. But here we're not talking about oinish. We're trying to praise Sarah. Trying to praise her Mila. So we say she was like a bas chof lechet. What is that? And then it gets even more confusing. She was kibazayin liyev. She was like 7 in beauty. Somebody would have a shidduch and they would say the girl, she mamish looks like she's 7. So it wouldn't be a very attractive thing to hear by a shidduch that the girl looks like a 7-year-old. Right? Unless you're a coach in Philadelphia or something, Pennsylvania. It's not a 7-year-old. But Chazal somehow are telling us that she was a kibazayin liyefi. So what does that mean? So obviously there's something more hidden behind this Chazal. The Malbim, in his Sefer, he's aiming on the fact that the Torah says the word shnei chaye twice. It says, Chaye Sarah, Shnei Chaye Sarah. So Rashi explains to us why we have it at the end. Shnei Chaye Sarah, to tell us that they were all good. Kulam Shavim L'Tev. Why does it say it at the beginning then? Didn't have to say Chaye Sarah twice. Could have just ended with Chaye Sarah. It starts off with Chaye with years and it ends with years. What do we need both for? So the Malbim is aiming on this. He goes into a tremendous chiddush. You can look at this album. Tremendous chiddush what he says on this. The pasuk then goes on to the union of Kvura Sarah. Okay, I'm not going to go through all the details, but I'll just ask you a generic question, which always bothers me whenever we learn Maseches Kedushin. We learn out in this parsha the union of Kedushin, right? Kicha, kicha, Mistayef, and everybody knows. For some reason, I don't know, when the Olam learns Kedushin, they don't think of the Kasha. That if you're going to learn Kedushin, why do you learn it from when you bury your wife? That's where you learn Kedushin from. There's so many ways the Torah could have taught us a Kenyan Kedushin. We learn our Kes of Kedushin from the cemetery. From Avram burying his wife. That can't be that just happened. There's obviously a mechuv. Why the Torah said that we should learn it out from Dafka, from Avram burying his wife. So one shot I have, possibly, and I've said this in the past, is that it could be that there's a lot to learn from the way Avram buried his wife. When Avram buried his wife, the pasuk says like this, and Alshech is medayik. It says, "Vayovo Avraham lispoid l'sorah v'lifkoisa." Avram came to mourn, to eulogize Sarah, to cry over her. So the Medrash brings down over here on the spot, the Medrash Rabbe, that when Avram did this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Avram, Atumi Palatlin Shali, you're from my palace. You deserve the title of being Ben HaKadosh Baruch. Why? Because I do chesed, your punishment is chesoma is chesed, and you do chesed. What was a chesed? Look, you eulogized your wife, a hespit, and you buried her. It's an obvious question everybody asks. That's such a big chesed. Who doesn't bury their wife? That's pasha, it's aleph base, it's chiv ksuba. Chiv ksuba, you have to bury your wife. If she dies in your lifetime, it's chiv kfur. Hespit, you're married to a woman for over 100 years, so you don't give a hespit. The biggest losha gives a hespit. There have been murder cases where later on the husband is accused of murdering his wife. He also eulogized his wife. Who doesn't eulogize a wife? So for that, Avraham Avinu the Isha Chesed for that. So the pshat that I gave in that was that since the Gemara says that when you give a hespit, there's a yakr de chaya and there's a yakr de moisa. When a person gives a hespit, there's both honor on the person who's alive and it's honoring the person who's dead. The Gemara even has a shaila. Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the chai or are you doing it for the mace? Now, even if you come out that a spade is yakra de moisa, that's just a halacha. Meaning, question is halachically who you're doing it for. Are you doing it for the people that are alive? Because they like to hear good, nice things about the deceased person who they were close with. Or are you doing it for the person covered for the mace? Either way, psychologically, definitely it's for both. Definitely the chai, and anybody would tell you, went through a tzorah, that they feel good when they hear a hespit on somebody who they were close with. It's pasha like that. Right? So Avraham Avinu, he loses his wife, according to Chazal, over 100 years, married his wife. It's a special kesh. And Avraham, you're talking about a gadol. You know, B'chaim Knievsky's old gezunt zayin. Those of you that were zeichet to see him and know him a little bit, he's like stone. He's about the most... He obviously has emotions, but as far as expressing emotions, he's about the least emotional person I've ever met in expressing emotions. He's always stark. He doesn't cry too much, doesn't smile too much, doesn't frown too much. He's very stark. They say he's been devastated. After his wife was nifta, B'chaim is devastated. Because his wife is nafshik shur b'nafshik. His gabbai told me that B'chaim told him that when his wife wasn't in the house, he couldn't learn as well. Some when she would go out for an hour, he says, as the Rebbetzin is in the shtub. It's hard to believe Reb Chaim would talk like that. But Shver can't learn as good as when the Rebbetzin's not in the house. Avraham Avinu, he's married to Sarah for over 100 years. So Avada, if you give a hespit, he's making himself feel good. Giving a hespit. If he buries his wife, he's doing it for himself. But the Pasuk says no. Vayovi Avram, it doesn't say lispoid al sorah. It says lispoid lisorah.
to do a hesped lisoha, to live kaisa, to do a hesped for her. So the Alshech is already dying. That means that when Avraham did the hesped, there was none of himself in it. He was just thinking about his wife. He wasn't thinking about himself. That is already a very high madrega. That's a madrega that kamat doesn't exist. In such a moment, to not feel about yourself at all, the Rebbeinu Shem said, "Atami palatran shali," because the Eibush is a shtik chesed. The Eibush said, "This makes you, you're a shtik chesed." That's one pshat. If you learn like that, so perhaps you could say that's why we learn marriage from here. Because a husband and a wife, a spouse, they have to have that kind of relationship where they're totally focused on the other one. So a lot of times by Yeshiva Brachas, I tell a chassan kala, this shmuz, you know, this idea, this concept. But I want to tell you a different idea, which will answer this as well. The Medrash brings down that when Rebbe Akiva, during the Shas HaShmad, during the time when the Goyim made a decree against learning Torah, he was giving a shir, and the Talmidim were misnamne. Talmidim were falling asleep. So the Medrash says he was bikesh lo'eiru up. He wanted to wake them up. So he decided to give them a nice vault to wake them up. So what did he tell them? Ma rosa Esther, shetim lechameo the Esrim v'sheva medinas. Why was Esther Amalka Zeicha to be a queen of 127 medinas? Because she came from a grandmother, from Sarah, who lived 127 years. First of all, it's not such an inspiring vote. It doesn't have much meaning, and it's simple when you hear it. It doesn't sound much meaning. It's 127, 120. It's like all these gematrias that you hear. So the only difference is that it's true. Most of these gematrias are not true at the end of the day. Right? The numbers don't work out. But here, it's 127. But it's a gematria. And now they should wake up. Now the Talmidim are going to wake up because they hear the shmuz from Rabbi Akiva. What's going on? I think on Beisai, the Teretz is very poshut. I think. The Teretz is like this. When Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak Avinu, so it says he went to a town where Avraham sent him, wasn't the best town. In fact, most of the maidens, most of the women over there, they weren't even besulas. They were already involved with other people already. Rivka was different. She was a besula. She was a girl that had nothing to do with anybody. She wasn't involved with any man. She never was involved with any man. And the Torah praises her as such. The Torah Taka says that was the greatness of Rivka. The Torah goes out of its way to tell us the greatness of Rivka, had nobody, she had no relation with anybody. Nebuch from such a Medina, that was a compliment, right? So what is Ishlo Yidah? Ishlo Yidah means that nobody knew her. Meaning, Chazal say the Yerushalmi, Ksubis, Perek El Maras, the Yerushalmi says, Ishlo Yidah, no man ever even asked her. Ishlo Yidah doesn't say she didn't know any man. Ishla Yidah, nobody knew her. Nobody knew her. I remember when I was a Mesifta Bach, I guess I shouldn't reveal all secrets, all my Averas. Baruch Hashem, my parents, my father could say, I never was Baruch Hashem involved with girls. But my Menal heard my name mentioned in the Beis Yankiv. His wife taught in the Beis Yankiv. So he called. When he had a meeting with me, my parents and I, over other inyonim that I was, maybe a little misbehaving a little bit. So he mentioned the girl's issue. So that, I jumped out of my seat. I said, that's not true. I have a lot of problems. That's not true. Never does it. And my father backed me up on it. He said, that's not true. Never. So the Menal goes, but Lamaisa, I had a little boy in my class. A little boy, his name was Hertzberg. He says, Beis Yaakov, they don't talk about Hertzberg. I said, that's because he's 4'2". That's not my fault. Taka was a sweetheart of a boy. So I said, that's not my fault. But Chazal saying that's the greatness of Rivka. The greatness of Rivka was that her name wasn't even mentioned. They didn't even hear her name. Her name wasn't even mentioned. Yishmo Yado, nobody even spoke about her. Nobody knew. She was unknown. So the Chazal tell us about Rivka. Nobody knew about her. So you think about it, you wonder, why is that a compliment? She's Taka, Tevis Mare. She's Taka, so pretty. She's such a good girl with all the milas. That's not a mila. You know, when you read a shidduch, you like to say, oh, everybody was plotting for the shidduch. Right? That's a mila. You like to hear that. Right? Somebody reads your shidduch and say, by the way, this girl, nobody even asked about her. I'm not interested. You want to hear, oh, this is a girl, everybody's interested. They're running these lines to get, oh, Hashem, you'll be zeicher. Why is that a praise? But that's how the Yerushalmi teaches the pasuk. The ish lo yidor. That nobody knew. So I think perhaps we could say, to answer all the kashas, is like this. Every moment of a person's life, a person has nisyonos. The Yetzer Hara doesn't leave off. Every moment, a person is a younger, they have certain nisyonos. They get older, they have certain nisyonos. And as a person goes on in life, there's always nisyonos. And that's growth. That is the element of growth. That's the beauty. The beauty of growth is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a person challenges. Challenges is Nishkin Chesor. Challenges are Maila. Challenges are Maila. That's how we grow. And every stage in life, there's a Maila. I'll never forget Rabbi Yankov telling me when he was already in the 90s. And Rabbi Yankov was talking about the Yetzer Hara. He says, you think that when you come to my age, there's no Yetzer Hara? Narishkin. Covered. He says, once you're in the old years, all you think about is COVID. What bruch are you going to get? What can, who's going to stand up for you? Who's not going to stand up? You come in. When you're going to come in, you're walking from the side, the front, the back. Yeah? So each stage of life, a bruch before he gets married has a house. A type of geneva is not that much there. You start a family and you need to make panosa, and a type of geneva is there. Bikultera, every stage of life has its nesienis. And that's why by Avraham Avinu L'moshe, later on the parasha says, V'Avraham Zokim Bo Bayomim. So the Zohar HaKadosh says, when Avraham comes up to Shemaim, there wasn't one day that he couldn't come up to Shemaim with. That means Avraham was able to show every day of his life was a day of growth. Bo Bayomim. He came with all his days. It wasn't like he had off days. Every day of his life, every challenge that came up, he met that challenge. The pasuk here is coming to say like this. Yes, all of Sarah's years were kulam shavim l'toyva, right? But they were all different. When Sarah was a young woman, she had one set of nisyanis. When she was older, middle age, she had another set of nisyanis. When you're zkena, there's other elements of nisyanis. The greatness of Sarah was that all those years, they weren't the same. They would have been the same, that wouldn't have been a mila. They were separate. But she thrived in each tkufa. She thrived in the tkufa of Zion. She thrived in the tkufa of Chof. She thrived in the tkufa of Kuf. And why does it pick Zion, Chof, all these different things? Is to tell you that each one as it came, she was mitzdayenis. Zion Leoifi, the way I teach it, is very simple. A lot of times you see a little kid that's mamish beautiful. Right? Beautiful. But you don't have a taiva for a little kid. Again, like I said, unless you're demented, unless you're chas v'shalom, you're a sick person. Right? What's the pshat? The pshat is because a little kid is pure. It's a purity. And chet has to be triggered by something. The other person also wants to be seen in a certain way. So it takes two to tango. So a seven-year-old kid, even if the person looking at the seven-year-old kid is already a badeya to have taiva, but the seven-year-old kid is just a pure neshama. And the purity is mashpia, that when you look, you don't have a taiva. Right? If seven-year-olds had a different presentation and they would have their own, then it would come. And Taka, we know that it is that way. Sometimes you could have a person at a younger age has more taiva, and then people have taivas on them too. Because one thing, it's a magnet. One thing triggers the other. Sarah's beauty was on such a level that she was always like the Baal Zion. She was never seeking to be seen. She was always like pure, like a seven-year-old. Doesn't mean she looked like a seven. When you looked at Sarah, she looked like you should give her a lollipop. That doesn't matter what it means. It means that Sarah had the purity of a seven-year-old. There was no makom for taiva b'chlal. And that's why when Chazal come and they praise Rivka, the Torah comes to praise Rivka, it says, V'ish lo yido, me'olam lo tova odam. She was so out of the parasha that nobody even asked her. Nobody was even tevah. Now, Molly, you could have shtufei zima. It's interesting. The Noyim Elimelech is medayik that when Sarah came to Mitzrayim, Avraham Avinu was afraid that who knows what's going to happen over there. It's mashma that all the Sarah in Mitzrayim, nobody took her. It says, Vayehalalu oiso lepale. Strange. They thought, oh, this is somebody that's worthy to be a princess. Why didn't they have a taiva for themselves? Because Sarah was such a tznua that she overcame that madrege. I was medayik, gevaldik, that's the reason why Avimelech, which we're going to learn about in next parsha, when Avimelech wanted to have a kesher to Rivka Imenu, it says, Vayashkev Avimelech ba'adachalein. Avimelech saw Rivka together with her husband. What does that mean? Rivka in the street, he wouldn't have even noticed her. Because she was so pure, he wouldn't have noticed her. With her husband, she was with her husband. That's normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. He got a glance when she was with her husband, then he was able to have a taiva. From the regular Rivka, the Rivka of Hanara that goes out to be Shay of Mayim, he wouldn't have even noticed her. That was the Madrega. And that is what the Torah is trying to bring out in the first pasuk in this week's parasha. That Sarah mastered every stage in life. And that's the second Shnei Chayisola. First Chayisola is telling her physical years. The second one is telling you that she mastered them. Just like Avraham Zokim Bobayomi. She mastered every Nisayan that came away. Now I want to tell you, if we take this thought, we can understand also the union of why we learn Kiddushin from this parasha. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that when the Satan was going around the world and he started picking on Eve, he said, Rabban Hashem, I went through the world, there's nobody like Avraham Avinu. Avraham is the best. The Rabban Hashem said, what's special about Avraham? So the Satan said, when I went through the world, I saw that Avraham Avinu, even though you promised him that the whole land is going to belong to him, and then he had to bury his wife, he had to go buy a gravesite like a shnorer. V'lo Yisrayim, he didn't complain. Right. Everybody asks on the Gemara, the Ramaral, the Ben Ishchai, what's going on here? Avraham Avinu had 10 Nisyonos, including Akedas Yitzchak that we just learned. That's a lot harder. Is Akedas Yitzchak harder or easier than buying a grave? Buy a grave, big deal. It's expensive, that's expensive. But the Sultan, from all the things Avram's challenges in life, he picked the fact that he bought a grave for his wife. So the pshat I wanted to give is very simple. Avraham Avinu had nisyonos. But by every nisyon that Avraham Avinu had, he was called to task by the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom said, Avraham, I need something from you. So Avraham put on his kapota, and he went, he did what the Rabbanu Shalom asked him to do. That's tremendous. Tremendous madrega. The Rebbe Shlom said, I need Akedas Yitzchok from you. Like Yitzchok said, when I asked him to be honored by the dinner, Akedas Yitzchok, he went. He did it. Right? It's a tremendous madrega. But, like I'm telling you now, every stage in life you have nisyonos. But the thing is, you don't get a phone call. It's not that the phone rings. Hello, Rebbe Shlom. This is your nisyon for today. You don't get that. If you got those phone calls every day, you'd pass every nisyon. You pass every nisayon. If your wife's getting you a little nervous, and the Rebbe will call, oh, the Rebbe's getting on your nerves now, right? The nisayon is to stay calm. Okay, call to. Nobody will get angry. Yeah? But the Baruch Hashem doesn't call you up. He doesn't say, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi, this is your new sign. A business deal comes your way. That's a little chum. The Baruch Hashem doesn't call you up and say, Rebbe, that deal over there, that's the new sign for today. If the Baruch Hashem did, you'd be able to accomplish it. The problem is the Baruch Hashem just sends you several messianis. Zokim bo bayomim. Every day the Baruch Hashem sends you messianis. Your job is to misgabel, to accomplish it. That's your job. When Sarah died, and Avraham had to go to find a grave, that was an unprepared nisayon. That wasn't the Baruch Hashem saying, "Volekim nisayos Avraham." Not only that, Avraham was in a state of mind that he couldn't prepare himself. He has to know he's in the lowest of his life. He has to go bury his wife, and then he has a nisayon. And at that time, he's not Mitzrayim. That's the Avraham zokin baba yamin. That's somebody who lives in all situations. In order to have a proper marriage, you have to be somebody that could be oimed in the sayin of every day of a marriage. Because that's part of a marriage. And that's why we learn marriage from this parasha. Because this parasha teaches us that there's no such thing as not living in the sayin. Every day you're going to have the sayin. A person's married, there's no day that you don't have any sayin. That challenges your being a husband, a father, a being what you're supposed to be, a leader in your family. And that's why it's learned out of this parasha. That's good, this parasha. Can we go back to it? Oh. So when Rabbi Akiva was giving shir, and the Talmidim were sleeping, they were falling asleep. What does it mean? So we envision this like a rabbi is giving a drosha, and you have a guy in the back. Right? That's what we envision. Rabbi Akiva didn't have snorers in the shir. Yeah, snoring, they didn't snore. What the Gemara means, I believe, is the Talmidim were overwhelmed. There was a Shibud Malchus. They were being killed. They were being persecuted. The Talmidim were weak. And Rabbi Akiva wanted to wake them up. He wanted them to... So what did he tell them? He told them like this. Why did the Eibishter pick Esther Amalka? Because Esther Amalka was somebody that was able to meet the challenge of being in a base of Malchus. How was she able to rule? Because she took over the characteristics of Sarah, of Meir, the Esrim Visheva. She was able to meet one challenge to be the wife of Mordechai, to be a Rebbetzin. It's also challenging. And there's another challenge to be in the palace of Achashverosh. But Esther was able to capture all those Nesienes. And that's why she was Eichel Malchus. Rabbi Akiva was turning his Talmidim, he says, right now, Shas HaShema, that's your Nisayin for today. Don't be misnamed. Don't fall asleep. This is your Nisayin for today. This is your call for today. And that's why he brought down the Meir HaShem. That you'll have to wait for Shabbat.